KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the Steve on the Street podcast, a closer look behind the headlines as public policy and current affairs impact the real lives of real people.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve on the Street podcast, produced by Northwest Now, broadcast on KBTC Public Television. I'm your host for the podcast, reporter and photojournalist Steve Kiggins. Today's podcast covers a slice of the arts community in Seattle. Specifically, we're talking about dance and the Century Ballroom. The venue has been a staple in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood, playing host to weddings, private parties, and live music, DJs, socials, and it's a place where newbies can come to learn all kinds of forms of dance. Century Ballroom is owned by Hallie Cooperman. She's been in business for nearly 30 years. This past autumn, Cooperman went to social media and announced to her followers it was time to move on to new challenges, telling her audience she would not be signing a new lease in 2025. That announcement spurred coverage in Seattle's commercial media, on television, in the Seattle Times, and in independent media. Seattle Channel's Art Zone with Nancy Guppy hosted one of its episodes recently from inside the Century Ballroom, talking about the venue's legacy. Reaction, at least online, was swift and loud when Cooperman made her announcement. At first, knowing who, if anyone, might take up the reins after Century's departure was a loud question many hoped would be answered, praying that Capitol Hill wouldn't lose a beloved community touchstone. Century Ballroom occupied a cavernous space inside the iconic Oddfellows building. It's across the street from Cal Anderson Park. During her announcement, Cooperman promised to remain open through the new year and celebrate their 28th anniversary. And before too long, Century's fans would receive positive news about the future. Next on the podcast, take a listen to our coverage, broadcast on Northwest Now. For almost three decades, countless friends and strangers have come toe-to-toe and hand-to-hand to the iconic Oddfellows building in Seattle's Capitol Hill.
All of the people who have come through these doors over the year, they are the reason that we're here.
Five, six, seven.
Hosting DJs, live music, socials, and teaching students how to salsa, tango, and more, Hooperman's love for music and dance has connected communities since the 1990s.
Movement is a connection to yourself, and dance with a partner dancing is a connection with somebody else and yourself. So that's what makes it so incredibly special.
Last November, Cooperman and partner Allison Cockrell went to social media sharing news that their venture was coming to an end.
And we've lived our dream for 28 years. And so it seems like it's time to let that go.
For decades, the Oddfellows building has been a hub for arts and culture, something Cooperman hoped would continue.
Theater, dance, opera, ballet, and poetry. I don't really care what it is, but keeping it for artists in general, and I call those the dancers, the performers, the musicians, is the ideal use of this venue.
The immensity of this, it like gets to me sometimes.
The very notion that Seattle could lose a space that builds community hit hard. The connections joining Art and Motion in Century Ballroom left its mark on the walls.
Just a really small percentage of people who have met and gotten married, gotten engaged here.
But Century's legacy is not over. There are plans for renovations and modifications. But first, a new name, Reverie Ballroom. The venue's new owner, Eliza Wilder, holds deep affection for this space.
I was 18 and I came dancing here for the very first time, and it left a really memorable impression.
While so much of Seattle has changed in the past 30 years, a community born through music and motion has renewed promise. Promise that the arts and connections made in Capitol Hill will remain.
That we've made an impact on people's lives so dramatically, greatly, I don't know what the right word. I will hold that with me forever. And so will Allison.
In Seattle, Steve Kiggins, Northwest Now. The ballroom is really a spectacular place to witness. Eliza Wilder signed a new lease with the building's owners and took possession of the ballroom in April. She says there are plans for renovations and modifications to bring portions of the facility back to its historic 1908 roots. Cooperman and her partner are still teaching some classes there, but they also wish to take Century Ballroom on the road, so to speak. They want to instruct dance students in other places near and far. Next on the podcast, hear my extended interview with Cooperman talking about how she felt when she heard the public's reaction to her decision to shutter Century Ballroom. Does any of this feel real? I mean, it's hard to turn away from 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, had they just walked in tomorrow, it would feel horrible. But, and maybe it's felt a little horrible for the last month because everybody's been here and you're kind of like, you're in my space. But tomorrow I'm going to walk in, it's not my space anymore. So I don't just get to walk in. I mean, I do. I still have keys. I can go wherever I want. And well, they're very friendly.
No.
And
right.
And half my shit is still here and has to go home with me. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, it's going to feel very, very odd.
Not to mention the things you've seen change over 20-some years just on this block alone, let alone the people that come and go.
Yeah.
Is it? What do you think of the serendipity that it's turned the way it has, where this will not necessarily be identical, of course not, but similar?
Physically, I think the spaces will be very different.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know. Like, I can't, in my mind, it's going to be somewhat similar and they'll do dancing. But part of why Eliza was the right choice, and I had a bunch of different choices and people come at me, or to keep doing it myself with other people's money. Part of why it works is because she's not doing the restaurant, which is a huge portion of the money. And she also is going to, she's not yet going to prioritize only dance. So for instance, I've never, other than last Saturday night, when the first time in 28 years I canceled a dance on Saturday night so that we could have a goodbye staff party, I prioritize the dancing. Lock, stock, and barrel. So if I can move this dance over there, I'll move it. If I can move that dance over here, I'll move it, and then I'll do a private event. But that's not how she's going to pay her bills. She's going to have to prioritize dancing for stability and private events for more money. So that's very different, and that's just a different take on how to keep this space alive. And it was, and I am grateful that somebody is like, I have a bigger idea that might be able to keep both dancing events and this space. Otherwise, who knows where it goes?
What was your reaction to your announcement when you saw that reaction from the public that said, "Are you kidding? What? You're done?"
People got confused a little bit. I think that, I mean, you know, you try to roll it out in a way that makes sense. People thought what had happened is that the rent had just gone up astronomically all of a sudden and that we were going to leave. And that wasn't the case. And so we had to kind of backtrack a little and say, no, it's been like this for a lot of years. And then, you know, separate from this event and then COVID and then this, you know, when staff leaves, I'm working. We had to just kind of explain, this is what's been going on. You just don't know it. We know it. And so, and it has been a long conversation. I mean, it hasn't been a conversation publicly because it didn't need to be, because we were, but it has been a long conversation between the few of us who run the business about how much longer we wanted to do it and felt like we could do justice. And we've done fundraisers in the past, you know, people paid to put the staircase in or people paid to help us get a piano. But we weren't going to do a GoFundMe. I mean, because that money comes and goes, and we did that during COVID. And so that's not our way of making it work. Was it either works or it doesn't work? And it was looking more like now it's getting more popular. Right now it's working better, but not so much to do the big vision that we have. And 28 years is a long time, And after talking about it for probably since COVID, but also just having managed to get through COVID, over the last year, we've definitely had that conversation because we knew our lease was ending.
But all that confusion and folks were, what can I do? Can I give you money? Let's try this. My point, I guess, is just the visceral response was this community that you've been able, that you've essentially built, was panicked. Yeah. What happens to my place? This has a cultural touchstone weaving through hundreds of people.
Thousands.
How does that part feel?
Tens of thousands of people,
I
would say.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah.
That must have been extraordinary.
It has been. It has been since, everything we've done over the last however month, I'd say, is the last time we're going to do this thing. And we've had a lot of beautiful lasts. You know, I think the anniversary party was phenomenal, you know, to have 1,000 people walk through the door. I didn't say that out loud, but to have 1,000 people walk through the door crying and feeling and, I mean, we've all had our cry. We cry a lot. But we've also been through this process for a number of months now. And to know that it has affected the world at large, not just, yes, us, yes, the ballroom, yes, who works here, yes, the teachers, yes, the DJs, and me and Allison, and the other people who people don't see as much. We're a part of why it works, and we know that. And that feels great that we created that. We created that for the staff, we created that for the dancers. I think what hit me just the other day was that what is going to be hardest about it will be the staff is going to change. There are no, Eliza has no plans to change anything right away, but you know, I'm going to walk in here someday. I will not know who's sitting at the front door, and I will not be famous. And I, you know, I that's not really what I care about. But I will walk in and go, I don't know this place anymore. Doesn't look like mine, which is good, because that will allow me to let go of it. But I also, it won't be our family. And we, at the staff party, we all talked about it. Like, that is, for us, that's the thing. It is, the family that has been created is about to change hands to a new family. And that is no longer are people who have worked here for the last 28 years going to be able to walk in the door and be like, this is my place. Because it won't be their place anymore.
That's a bit bittersweet. You've got to let go to, that's bittersweet. You've got to let go to hang on and
right.
Hang on to let go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Up is down, left and right. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got this community that,
yeah,
you've got a wall filled with names of people who
yeah.
built their families
yeah.
beginning here.
Yeah. Yeah.
This could turn into apartments, apartments. The building next door is being raised.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people did actually want us to turn upstairs into an old folks home, and I was like, that'd be great. I could keep doing what I'm doing and just walk. I mean, you'd have everything. If you turned it into living for older people, you have exercise down here. You've got a restaurant.
Upstairs. They wouldn't even have to come down.
They wouldn't even have to come down. They got a restaurant. They have restaurants. So that was pretty funny. I was like, that's a good use of the space.
Right. The ways that Seattle has changed just in the past 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a miracle this place even still is here by itself. Now that kind yeah. of the baton has been passed.
Yeah.
It's rather stunning. It's remarkable, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's, people were afraid that they would take the building down. And I was never afraid of that. I mean, I think they would sell the building if the right person came along. Now is not the greatest time to buy or sell buildings. So I didn't, sure. But selling it, I really never thought it was going to come down. I mean, I guess that's just the thing that kept me going. Is like, yeah, they bring in a business or somebody who's got an idea about something, or an organization that's got a lot of money. But I never ever thought that they would raise this building. So, fingers crossed. 5 years from now, they don't decide that's their choice. You know. But, yeah. I mean, keeping it in the arts, whatever that meant, theater, dance, opera, I don't know, ballet and poetry, I don't really care what it is, but keeping it for artists in general, and I call those the dancers, the performers, the musicians, is the ideal use of this venue. So we got really lucky.
Why is that a focus for you?
Because that's all I've done for my whole life. I mean, I've been in there. I was a stage manager before I was a dance teacher. I mean, that was my first career. Running the ballroom was my second career. So it's my whole life has been. I grew up in New York City. My whole life has been in theater, backstage, and so doing events and being in the arts is. I mean, it is. Again, it's an easy thing to say. It's healing. I always say food, dancing, those are music, those are the things that bring cultures together and make the world a better place. We all can see, Eliza, myself, anybody who's really looking at the nitty-gritty can go like, change the carpet, dust the things, do the thing, right? You can see that if you look at it. But when you walk in here, and that is including me every day, you go, nothing prettier. I mean, nothing more unique in this world, and it will never be, you'll never find this built again. So this is it. People, you know, like Eliza probably told you that, you know, she was looking for spaces all over. I know a lot of people who have looked for dance studio spaces all over. And a room is a, you know, you can find a dance floor, you can put down a dance floor, but can you make this? No, you can't. You can't walk into a room and feel like you're walking back to the 1908 here, but 1930s, 1940s, you know, you will not find that vibe.
What was it like when you first walked in here?
Well, it was a little bit disheveled. I mean, it was painted white and green and graffiti, and there's no staircase, no platform.
Right, it was a mess.
No, it was a mess. It's still the best room ever. Greatest floor to dance on, most comfortable, good speed, good bounce. I mean, just, and majestic, even when it was shitty looking. So.
What about for you? What's coming?
Well, we're still going to teach here, which is great. I mean, that's an easy transition a little bit. I'm still running the Tin Table Restaurant, which is our restaurant, for a couple more months. I just got contacted by somebody in Bellingham, said, come up and teach. Somebody in Hood River said, come out and teach. Somebody, you know, Allison and I want to do Century Ballroom Roadshow. We want to do something we've never done, really, which is leave here to go teach somewhere else. And we want to do it on our schedule. We want to do it when we feel like we have the energy and we can do it. We've been at this for so long, and it's never ending. And, you know, she and I rotate every Saturday night. One of us is here every Saturday night. We're here every Monday night with a week off here and there. And I work at home. I mean, we all used to work in the office together, but since COVID, I work at home 7 days a week. So I'm like, it'll be nice to go. I would like to go there. I'd like to do that. But right now we're teaching at Chihuly once a month. So the glass gardens are stunning. I mean, if you're going to pick a place to go, there's another beautiful place. I think it's the idea is to keep dancing. I like to garden. I have goats and chickens, and I live in the city, so that's pretty amazing. And summertime's my favorite time. So once I hit June and I no longer am running the restaurant, and I'm teaching one night a week and some Saturdays, you will find me outside playing pickleball and playing with goats and chickens and gardening. I think probably just the most important thing is to understand for people that all of the people who have come through these doors over the year, they are the reason that we're here. And we've said it, and I hope people understand that we're not blowing smoke. We would not be here without the love and support and the love of dance, the love of us, the love of the ballroom, the love of whoever you're loving in here. We're only here because other people are here. And the fact that we changed people's lives, that we hear that more often than I would have expected, that we've made an impact on people's lives so dramatically, greatly, I don't know what the right word.
Yeah.
I will hold that with me forever. I had a dance instructor, actually the person who taught me a dance. I had a dance once with her, it was a waltz. And I remember saying, this is what they call the once in a blue moon dance, the dance you will never forget. And I think that we have them. That's not the only one I've ever had, but when you start dancing, you have those. It can be with somebody you don't know their name, you'll never see them again, you'll never have that dance again, but it was that moment in time where you, it's a like an out-of-body experience, and it's just joyous. And for me, keep that going, you know. Anybody who can keep that going for the world, the public, for those people who say, I'll never dance, I don't know how to dance, you're lying. You might not want to dance, that's one thing, but anybody can dance.
You know, it's not terribly often we get to hear from someone so dedicated to their passion and their craft and so fortunate enough to pursue it for their career and then see that through decade after decade. Congratulations to all those who made Century Ballroom the success that it remains and those taking the reins at Reverie Ballroom. Thanks to Eliza Wilder and Hallie Cooperman for sharing your voice on the broadcast and here on the podcast. And I cannot forget, thank you. Out of all the things you could be doing, you spent the effort and you took the time to be here with me on Steve and the Street Podcast. Your support just by listening forever amazes me. Thank you. Northwest Now covers the issues and stories, the people and places that reflect and define who we are and where we call home. Join our broadcast each week, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. on KBTC Public Television. Once more, I'm photojournalist and reporter Steve Kiggins. Until next time, cheers. Thank you.